Today I'm talking to Fraser Armitage. Fraser's grandparents moved from Leeds to Scarborough and bought a house overlooking Pizon Park. Later they converted the house to operate as a family guest house. It would have been typical of several hundred such houses operating in the town. Fraser grew up in that house, which continued as a guest house throughout his childhood. And I'm interested in talking to Fraser today about the experience of the family having to deal with a fairly long season of operating as a guest house. Fraser, tell me, just what was it like to be a boy growing up from his early days in a small family guest house?
Well, thank you, Hugh. Really, preparation started for the season probably after Christmas and New Year's Day. I always remember Dad getting very excited around that time, sitting in at the kitchen table preparing a manual spreadsheet of each of the seven bedrooms and each week of the coming season, so we could fill them in when people started to ring the guest house number. The phone would actually start ringing in early January, and you could pretty much already write down which week and which bedroom each visitor would stay in, because we had a whole number of recurring visitors for many, many years. It was always interesting to me, though, that certain guests did get preferential treatment. A couple of stories. I always remember old Les from Nottinghamshire, and he used to come to all the cricket matches. He was a farmer in Nottinghamshire, and one of his fields was next to a golf course. My dad at the time was a very keen golfer, and Les soon realised if he brought a big bag of golf balls found in his field, he would get a double room at the back of the house all to himself, and maybe an extra sausage in the morning. I also remember a potato farmer from South Cave in East Yorkshire. They would come in August every year with a great big sack of potatoes for all the guests to have throughout the that week they were staying. They also got a nice room looking over Pizon Park. The season started at Easter, and that week before Easter, my brother, my sister and I, we used to hate that time of year. It was the time where the three of us and my mum and dad had to vacate our bedrooms that we occupied through the colder winter months. My brother and my dad, they actually slept in a small corner of the loft in a very dark room, on my brother being on the camp bed. My mum slept on the camp bed in the small family living room downstairs, and my sister was on a board that covered up the family bath in the bathroom. Myself, as a small child, I was slept on a board as well, at the bottom of the stairs leading to the top floor. A curtain was pulled across, and I was told to keep quiet so visitors wouldn't be poking their nose through and staring at me. Many did, and I was often called a poor little bugger for what I had to go through. It was when I was 12 years old that I actually started working in the family guest house. And it was great, to be honest. My dad paid me a decent wage, and I earned lots of tips by being a cheeky 12-year-old to all the guests. My job really was to wait on in the morning. Well, first of all, I was up early preparing all the tables in the downstairs dining room, filling up the sauce bottles with tomato sauce, HP sauce, and filling up the cornflake box with the cornflakes, setting the tables ready for the day. The bell would ring at 8:45 and all the visitors would come down, and they were served. They had the choice of just cereals and toast. No one ever took that. They had one cereal and then a very hearty breakfast, which was the same each day: a fried egg, a sausage, a couple of rashers of bacon, a grilled tomato and some beans. They also only had tea. My father was really put out when anyone asked for coffee. Evening meals, again, were at 5 o'clock and served on. The bell would ring at 5 o'clock, and if you weren't there, then sadly your meal would go cold. So we were quite strict in the regime. Saturdays was changeover day, and my Auntie Betty would come down to help out my mum. She would come with a carload of fresh laundry, sheets, bedding, pillow covers, etc. And my mum and her would spend all Saturday morning changing beds, hoovering the rooms and giving the whole house a real dust over. I was given the lovely job of washing the basins and the toilets. My dad was quite ruthless as a businessman, and he really, really wanted people to pay as they arrived, obviously for nervousness of non-payers. We never ever had any occasions of that. Many of the people who visited from those areas of South Yorkshire and the North East tend to rock up on a Saturday and pay cash for the week, so they never ran out of money or they could budget their daily spend in Scarborough. Some others would actually pay check on a Friday, and again, it was my job to subtly place their bill in front of them between their pudding and their cup of tea in their evening meal on a Friday. Other perks other than the tips was great. We used to put a big board up in the dining room showing everybody what shows were on for the season in Scarborough. Some great acts like Les Dawson, Ken Dodd, the Grumbleweeds, the Crankies, they would be on at the Futurist, the Opera House and the Floral Hall. In return for that, Scarborough Council would also give us 2 free tickets to all these shows. My dad was never interested, but I used to enjoy going to these shows with my mother.
Thank you for that colourful description of running a guest house as a family. What would you say was the most dramatic incident that might have happened during all those years that you were working the house?
There were many incidents, Hugh, but funnily enough, I think the one that always sticks in all of our minds was the sad passing of an elderly guest in room number 8. I remember the bell ringing at 8:45 for everyone to come for their breakfasts, myself serving them on, and there'd been a blank seat at one of the tables in the dining room. We continued to ring the bell, thinking he may have had a couple too many beers the night before and slept in, but by 9 a.m. it was decided another guest would go up and knock on the door, and sadly the elderly guest had passed away in room 8 that day. Of course, that meant there was a breakfast going spare, and instead of offering it to any of the other guests, my father and I decided to share it before it went cold. So that was one of many, many memories of the time in the guest house.
I'm sure, and perhaps at some other time we can cover some more of those stories.
Most definitely.
But for now, thank you very much, Fraser, for a lovely and colourful contribution.